Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker Studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and welcome to another episode of Perspectives on Healthcare. My guest today is Jennifer Bannick. She is a certified registered nurse anesthetist, and I have been practicing all day to make sure that I can say anesthetist properly because it's not easy. But she is from the state of Illinois. She is a member of Generation X. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today, Rob. I'm excited to be here. I love what I do, so I'm excited to tell your listeners all about it.
Wonderful. So let's start with that then. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Yes. So you did a very good job of pronouncing anesthetist. That is correct. I am a certified registered nurse anesthetist. So we are responsible for the preoperative care of a patient. So what that means is reviewing their medical record, assessing what type of anesthetic is appropriate for that patient and for that procedure, and getting informed consent from the patient, communicating with the surgeon or the proceduralist about what type of anesthetic we've chosen. And then we actually deliver the anesthetic intraoperatively, and then postoperatively, we would make sure that the patient is comfortable, that they're hemodynamically stable, and that their pain is managed. So we are responsible for all three phases of anesthesia care.
Okay, so talk to me about the difference between an anesthesiologist and a nurse anesthetist, please.
That's a great question. So we are actually board certified to do the exact same thing. The difference is the foundations of our education. Certified registered nurse anesthetists or CRNAs have their educational foundations in nursing. So we are all registered nurses. All of us have had at least 1 year of intensive care unit experience. Actually, on average, my colleagues have 2.9 years of experience in the intensive care unit. So that's a lot of time that, we start learning our trade or our profession, so to speak. Physician anesthesiologists, their path to doing the exact same thing is a little different. So they have an undergraduate degree. That undergraduate degree could be in any specialty, actually. But then they take some prerequisite courses and they go on to medical school. But at the end of the day, certified registered nurse anesthetists, as I said, are credentialed to do the exact same thing. Every single nurse anesthetist is board certified. I think that's really important. Interesting tidbit, that is not necessarily true for our physician counterparts. But short story, we do exactly the same thing. It's just how we get there is a little different.
Okay. So let me just, to make sure that I understand, is this kind of like the difference between a family physician and a nurse practitioner, where they're doing very similar work, they have very similar powers and capabilities, so to speak. They've just kind of come from two different lines of education. Is that fair?
That is fair. You know, for some folks, as I mentioned, we're all registered nurses. And if, for instance, if I am a registered nurse and I say I want some increased responsibility, I would like to specialize in administering anesthesia, it would make more sense to go on and become a CRNA versus backtracking and then going on to medical school. So we utilize the same textbooks. We have very similar clinical preparation. And yes, the analogy you make is very similar. Correct.
Okay. Wonderful. So what does quality healthcare mean to you?
That's a great question. I think it's multifaceted. Certainly, I would absolutely say quality healthcare is safe. I think that it's efficient, and I think that it's patient-centric. I guess I would say that I think quality healthcare has a good return on investment. I think that's absolutely something nurse anesthetists bring to the table. you know, as I mentioned, we do the same thing as our physician anesthesiologist counterpart, yet it's cost significantly less to train us. So I think return on investment is something that's really important for, you know, folks in hospital administration to consider when they're determining their anesthesia delivery models. So, but yes, safe, efficient, patient-centric. We want a good return on investment.
Okay, so safe, I understand, and efficient, I understand. Talk to me more about what you mean by patient-centric, please.
You know, I think it's really important. It's hard not to get, you know, mixed up in bureaucratic red tape. I think it's important that we assess patients individually. I think that it's important that we consider their concerns. So those are the kinds of things that I mean in terms of patient centric. You know, I think it's important that we don't get, we don't just read a patient's chart and not connect with that patient on a personal level.
Okay. Thank you. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
Yes, I actually think that certified registered nurse anesthetists are an example of quality healthcare. You know, there was a time that we were proud of the fact that we were the best kept secret in healthcare, and that's a paradigm that we're trying to break through. Just because, you know, it costs significantly less to train us, we can practice independently. In fact, in rural areas throughout the United States, we are the predominant anesthesia providers in 80% of the country. So, you know, I think that there are some areas, in particular academic institutions, where nurse anesthetists are not necessarily practicing to the full scope of their ability. And so, you know, we're trying to show folks that are the decision makers, lawmakers, people in hospital administration, that they should really capitalize on our skills and our expertise in administering anesthesia.
What would you say is the primary difference between a nursing approach and the medical school approach?
Well, I should say, you know, I've practiced extensively with physician anesthesiologists. I think there is a place in healthcare for all of us. I think that as a nurse, I have been at the bedside since very early on in my training. And I think that's really important in that, you know, I was exposed to patients very quickly as I was learning this profession. So I think, you know, making that connection with patients, the part that I mentioned to you earlier, that's okay. So important. I think we are trained extensively to focus on the patient. Absolutely, there is a place for the academics and the science and all of those things that we learn. That's really important too. But it's important to be able to communicate that to our patients so that they understand, you know, why we've made the choice that we've made in terms of the most safe anesthetic for them to, you know, be having for this particular procedure. I think it's important to be able to communicate on a same level with our patients, wherever they are, in terms of their understanding of the process. So I think that's, you know, a significant difference, something that nurses bring to the table in this type of profession.
Okay. So you said that in some ways nurse anesthetists have been typically one of the best kept secrets in healthcare. So here's your chance to do an ad for nurse anesthetists. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
Yeah. So, you know, anesthetist is a very difficult word to say. I think that's been a hard, as you mentioned earlier, I think that's been hard for us in terms of our branding. You know, I think, that nurses have typically been undervalued in healthcare, and I wish that people put greater emphasis or understanding of the importance of what nurses bring to the table. That oftentimes nurses are the voice between, you know, if you're a bedside nurse, I'm not talking as an advanced practice nurse, but if you're a bedside nurse, you're oftentimes the bridge between the patient and what the physician knows about you. So I, you know, I find that a little frustrating that nurses are undervalued in that fashion. And I think sometimes then, when we become advanced practice nurses, that nurse identifier makes us somehow less than. And I think it's really important that people, know what we do bring to the table, and that nursing background is very important. And at the same time, we do the same thing as our physician anesthesiologist counterparts.
Okay, so I think I'm hearing what you're saying, and that is that nurses, especially a bedside nurse, is going to spend a lot more time with the patient and is going to be, and the patient, and they're much more accessible to patients than a physician would be. And so the patient is, in some ways, communicating with the physician through the nurse to say, I need this. And then the nurse is going to the physician to say, the patient feels that they need this. And then on the counterpart, the physician is relying sometimes on the nurse's notes and on the nurse's, what the nurse is saying to say, okay, what's going on with this patient and that information. So they are, as I think you said, kind of the go-between or the bridge that goes, it's got two-way traffic between the patient and the physician. And sadly, it sounds like some people in the medical community view them as just being a nurse. They're just a nurse. And so when it becomes a nurse anesthetist, well, it's just a nurse as opposed to a doctor of anesthesiology. So what's your reaction to what I have, I think, understood?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely spot on in your summary. I'm very involved in the state and the National Association because my job, I see, is to talk to legislators and educate and inform those people that are making decisions about how we practice within our state. So, I think you're spot on.
Okay. So let's talk about this then. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
Well, I think we have a long way to go, but I do think that we are beginning to have the discussions that we need to have in terms of access to healthcare for everybody. And so I'm excited about those conversations. I think that in terms of being a nurse anesthetist, I think we have the science and the economics on our side, which I think is exciting because I think we kind of created like this healthcare bubble where we had this inflated notion that people could smoke, they could eat whatever they wanted, they could, really take their health for granted, so to speak. And there weren't any consequences. We could afford that for as long as possible. And we know that's simply not the case. So I think in terms of the legislative side, I think that there's a lot more opportunities in terms of access to care for everybody. In addition, I am a strong proponent of patient accountability. In other words, having to have regular appointments and, for there to be incentives to not be morbidly obese, for there to be incentives not to smoke, for people to take accountability for their own health. I think we have a long way to go, but I think we're starting to have the conversations that we need to have. So I think that's hopeful.
Right. So in some ways, what you're talking about is we're changing the conversation around healthcare. And rather than it being you do whatever you want and then you look to healthcare to help you ameliorate the consequences of your poor decisions, it's, okay, let's do the education so that people are making good decisions to begin with and not having the long-term effect of that. Am I properly understanding that?
Yeah. And I think, the other part of who we are as a country is that, we have said that we will not turn anybody away in the emergency room. And so by not offering preventative care, though, sometimes there's things that become an emergency that didn't necessarily need to become an emergency. There's all of these kind of boundaries. I don't foresee that ever changing for us to ever say, oh, you don't have, you don't look or sound the right way, or you don't have the proper insurance company or insurance carrier, so we're not going to take care of you today. I don't see that ever happening. So we need to kind of apply pressure in these different areas. Like I said, we have the for instance, my profession, an advanced practice nurse, we have the patient and accountability, and then we have trying to prevent things that don't need to become an emergency from becoming an emergency. So we need to apply pressure to all of those different components to hit the, I call it the Goldilocks, the just right spot, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's a brilliant analogy. I will say I'm here in Pittsburgh, and in Pittsburgh, we have a city that's literally divided in half, in which there are two primary insurance companies, and they each have their own network. And so whichever insurance company you have subscribed to, you basically only get access to half of the city's healthcare resources, which is which is sad and difficult. And I can't figure out why that has happened. And maybe, as you've said, there needs to be some legislative advocacy to work on that. But that's above my pay grade. Last question for you is this. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
I would say, I think it's really important for healthcare professionals to dialogue with their legislators. Oftentimes, healthcare providers don't sit at the table within our capitals, within our states, or in Washington, D.C. And so I think that healthcare providers need to get to know who their legislators are and tell them what they are seeing, such that our laws can most benefit the folks living in those areas. So I think oftentimes as healthcare providers, we're pretty apathetic in having those discussions. And I think it's important that either we're at the table, either that we run for public office, or we let our legislators know exactly what's going on. That's how we're going to come up with creative solutions.
Okay. So it's really interesting to hear you say that. That's something that I have not heard suggested yet on the show, which is wonderful. I had Sam Ree on, who is a plastic surgeon from New Jersey, and his thing was that medical professionals need to get more involved in the process. So he was talking about it on a local level, being involved in, committees at the hospital and being involved in different ways in your community and in the healthcare environment and setting in which you reside and work. And you're talking about taking it up to the next level to do state and national level advocacy that benefits not just your profession, but it benefits the patients that you serve, which I think is a great suggestion. So listen, Jennifer, thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you. First of all, we hadn't had anybody from Illinois yet, so thank you for that. We hadn't had a nurse anesthetist yet, which thank you for that. I appreciate you being on the show and bringing that perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.